It's that time of year again, and Kelly said a little bit about it, about the time that we give gifts and we receive gifts, and everybody of the world believes that it's the time to be a different type of person. And I read a magazine, and it really wasn't a magazine, it was on the internet. I got an email. We don't know those email things. And it said, what do you want? It said, what do you want? And as humans, we all want. Is there anybody here that doesn't want anything at all? Raise your hand. I'm not going to believe it, but please raise your hand. Because there's something you want. It could be good health. There's something that you want. Every human wants something. What this article was about is, it was about people you touch. It was people you influence, people you touch. And especially this time of year, you come in contact with more people than you ever come in contact with in the month of December. I know the golf course is going to say, there is no way I come in contact with more people in December than I do the rest of the year. But a majority of us with banquets, dinners, get-togethers, family outings, things that happen at work. We had a big dinner at work where all the retirees were invited. So if you think about the number of people that you actually see and influence in the month of December, it seems to be like there's a lot. You may not realize how you're influencing any of those individuals. And what I found in some instances is just attendance. You influence by just attendance. So if there's a dinner or something that happens at work, or on Sunday morning, you influence people by leaving your home and going to church every Sunday morning. Just attendance. And that's something that we can all do. Every Sunday morning is figure out a way to go to church. If I'm not going to church on Sunday morning, then I'm going to something that I have to go to. But if I'm not going to something that I have to go to, then I'm trying to attend church. But there's examples of how we influence people. And I'm going to give you like your kids. The kids you influence beliefs, morals, right and wrong, prejudices, attitudes. And this month, they see a bunch of other ways. You influence them a lot this month because they get to see all the different acts that's happening throughout the world. Coworkers, integrity, trust, attitude, values, beliefs, work ethics. We all get asked questions just because of the way we are. It's very hard for my coworkers to not cuss. I have no idea why. I don't see any benefit in it at all. I can't see that it helps anyone. I can't see that there's a help. But for some reason, our language is getting more and more to go that way. Our friends and peers, loyalty, trust, understanding, sympathy, uplifting, fun. Spouse, trust, loyalty, partner, companion, understanding, sympathy, uplifting, caring, values, attitude, beliefs, love, and that's both ways. We influence each other both ways. What power we have, especially in December. It's a wonderful time of year. I think it's terrible to be in Iowa. I understand why people are going away for 2 weeks in Florida. I used to love it. I don't know if that comes on with age also, but after I turned 30, which maybe that's the old part, it seems like I like the warm weather more than I do the winter that we have up here, but I love white. I love the looking out the window and seeing this morning, seeing the storm and everything. If I could look out the window, it's gorgeous. When we go get in our car, it's a little different. But the gruffiest people, the attitudes change this month. They do change, and it's for different reasons. Kids look at, they're getting out of school for a week, and their attitudes change because, wow, I got a week. I get to do whatever I want. Tyler's home for 3 weeks, so he's really excited. So that's part of the attitude change. It's the type of times when families get together and they They see one another and they go forward. Attitudes of the world change. Acts 20 and 35 says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And it's funny how things just fit together with your talk. My whole talk is on this, you know, and I didn't talk to Pam or anything about, but if you look at, and if you read that pamphlet that we got this morning, it has a lot of things of what I'm going to say. At least that's the meaning as you go through it. It's more blessed to give than to receive. We hear that all the time. I've heard it at work several times in the past 2 weeks. So it's just, we hear it a lot more this month than we ever hear it. It is a gimmick that advertisers use. It's the bell ringers out front that they use. It's a warning that people use to their kids. You know, the kids want gifts. They want to give nothing. And again, that's human. You want to get more than you give. I know that's not the way it should be, but as you grow older and stuff, it's easier to give, and you really don't want as much. But as kids, it was the other way. We are taught as Christians that giving is a way of life all year round. Lowell gave his announcements today, and he talked about quality of life and volunteering and doing more of that. I don't do enough of that. I really don't. I don't do enough of giving my time to somebody else. And now that my kids are gone, I know I don't spend a lot of time with kids anymore because my kids are out of the house. So I guess that changes with stages in your life also. Think about this saying, the world loves things and uses people, and a Christian is to love people and use things. And I think that changes as we get older too. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, have 38 parables, and 16 are on giving. One out of every 10 verses in the Gospels is on giving. That's how important it is. They've had several talks on examples of treasures. And if you look through the archives, there's been several individuals that talk about treasures. And what should we be concerned about? What are your treasures? And really, I bring things down to pretty simple. Their treasures are people or things. That's your treasures. What are your treasures? My thoughts this morning on the way that we should be for all of our lives throughout the year. And I think most of us here do this, so I'm probably preaching to the choir because I don't think we change in December. I think everybody here, we touch more people and we see more people and we're around more people. But I think our values and our attitudes and the way we carry on life is exactly the same. We just get to see more people. But what I want to do is look at the world as a whole. And I tried to look up these statistics, and I found these about 3 years ago. And I got on the same website that I found 3 years ago, and there's hardly any changes. The only change in all of these statistics that I'm going to give you that I could find was in the number of computers. And that was the only statistics that I could find. But if you put 100 people in a room from the world, and you have to statistically take the entire world, and you put 100 people, and you put the variables of those 100 people, they go like this. There's 57 Asians, and I thought that number would change, but it really didn't. There's 21 Europeans, and I'm talking about a race. A lot of us are Europeans, as you classify a race. 14 from the West Hemisphere, 8 Africans, 52 females, 48 males, 30 white, 70 non-white, and I don't know how they got that classification, but it's from the different races. 30 Christians, 70 non-Christians, and that's just people that believe in Christ. That's the worldly term of Christians. It's just people that actually believe that Christ is the Son of God. 59% of the wealth, and the last time that I gave you some of these statistics, that number's changed. It used to be 65 to 70% of the wealth, but this now 59% of the wealth would be in the hands of six people. and they would all be U.S. citizens. We have the money. I'm still amazed at that fact, but when it comes down to individual people, there's families that have more money than that. This is one person. It rests in the hands of six people. 80 would be living in substandard housing. 80 people of the world would be living in substandard housing. Now, I couldn't get the definition of what substandard housing is. I'm thinking it's running water and some of the sanitary things that we have. Used to be outhouses was a substandard housing, so no rain, the type of floors, stuff like that. So 80 would be living in substandard housing. 70 would be illiterate, and that number's still good. 50 would be suffering from malnutrition. One would be near death, and one would be near birth. One person out of the 100 would have a college degree, which that was in the percentages several years ago, and now it was less than 1%. Now it's at least a whole percent. It's a whole person. Used to have one person at a computer. We're up to four. We're up to four. So if you got 80 people still living in some standard housing, the odds of them having a computer are pretty slim. So if you think about that throughout the world, you instantly understand why six people in the U.S. hold most of the wealth. Wow, what a place to live. Think about where you live. What a place to live. As you can see, most of the world gives every day. They have to. They give every day. They have to. They can't survive. So they have to take care of each other and figure out how to handle each other and stuff. So let's look at what God says about giving. 2 Corinthians 9, 7 through 8. We hear these all the time because these are the passages of the offering in the worship service that we do every Sunday. But 2 Corinthians 9, 7, and 8 tells us what type of heart to have. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficient in all things, may abound to every good work. I think here what he's trying to tell us is he will give us back what we give. He wants to see us give, and he will help us. And I think those that don't give, whether it's on Sunday morning or whether it's during their life, don't get as much as others that give. And I believe that's what he's saying. I think he's relating it to Sunday morning, but I think he's relating it to our life also. Next, we find in 1 Corinthians 16:1-2, where it talks about upon the first day of the week that we are to come together to observe the Lord's Supper and to give back to God. Those are the examples of giving. Also, we find in Romans 12:4-8, an example. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. How do I relate that to what I'm talking about? I think what we do here in the congregation is part of giving. I think us taking part and leading songs, teaching class, taking care of things in between, taking care of our role is an act that God sees in our heart that we do as part of giving. And that's how I relate those verses, is this congregation, his church, works perfectly if everybody has that way of thinking. His church just kind of sings with melody everywhere because everybody takes part. Some other examples of giving, and I'm just kind of going to give you what they're about. 1 Kings 17:9-16, where it talks about Elijah, and it talks about there was a big famine. And he went in, the Lord said to go to a woman's house and she would take care of him. And when he went there, he asked for a cake. And she said that she was preparing, she was getting sticks to prepare her last meal for her son and herself, and then they were going to die. And Elijah asked her to prepare a cake out of what little she had for him and prepare everything for her son and herself. And it came to pass that everything lasted for an entire year. So that little bit of meal that she had and the little bit of oil that she had lasted for an entire year, at least till the next time it rained. The next example we find is in Luke 10:30-37. And this is about the Good Samaritan. I'd like to read that. And Jesus answered, said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever you spendest more, then I come again, I will repay thee.' Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" Very, very good story on giving. He had no knowledge of the individual, didn't know him at all, but he wanted to help. Can you imagine the influence we have on people if we just not knowingly help someone, and how they'll try to understand why we did that today? And I think in this country, it's harder to help someone than it is in other countries, because I think they live on help. I think they live helping each other day to day. We find another example of this in Mark 12, 41 through 44, where it talks about the individual that gave more than anybody else because she gave everything that she had. It talks about the act of giving. A lot of us give what we want, but this individual actually brought everything she had and put it in the collection. The example of that is in Mark 12, 41 through 44. I want to go on to what did God give us. And we find that God gave us a lot. He gave us more than anybody could ever hope for, and that's in John 3:16-18. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." He gave the ultimate gift. He gave his one and only Son. And he knew the suffering that his Son was going to do. He knew that. So he knew he was putting his Son in a situation to suffer and die. And he did that with love for us, that we might have that hope. One thing that I want you to caution is in your Bibles, and I found this in a lot of places, that John 3:16 has been changed in most translations to take away the word should and say shall. So if you have a Bible that says shall, please cross that out and change it to should, because the world is using that as a tool today, that very verse. Next we find a gift in John 14:1-4. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." We talked a little bit about this morning about being scared. And I do believe that nobody would be here this morning if we didn't have hell. Because the fear that I have, you know, I want to do the right thing and I want to be in heaven and I want to be with God. And eternity is something I can't imagine. I cannot imagine what eternity is. So I read these verses and I know that there's a home prepared for me. I have a place. And what it says at the end, and whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. So if you're doing the best you can and you're doing the way that you know and the way that he knows, then I believe that there's a place being prepared for me. And as we've heard people talk about, you need to pray every day. If you pray without ceasing every day, you have that home. You have it. It's there. So I read these verses and I do understand that the fear of at the judgment day, I want to be in the book of life. And then I know I have a home up there. I got a poem I want to read in closing. God's gift. God is love and love is God, yet faith of us may share. His power dwells within us to nurture and to care. We generate his energy by giving it away. So love and live and freely give. Give of yourself each day. During the upcoming week, as you're celebrating the last couple weeks, remember to have Christ-like spirit. Remember in all of your decisions to have a Christ-like spirit always. We need to be the light. We need to be his light. Don't cover up your light this month because it's a month of lights. There's lights everywhere. Please don't cover your light up. When you get the opportunity to say what you can say for Christ, which you'll get the opportunity. I do almost every month of December. You get the opportunity to say some things that work very well. Please take that opportunity. Don't cover your light. With that, I'd like to offer the gospel invitation to anybody that wants to be a member of Christ's body or has any needs that they need to make known. Please come forward as we stand and sing.